They cried out, "Hosanna!" They waved their palm branches in the air. They put them on the ground in front of him to create a pathway. They laid down their cloaks in front of him. "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord," they cried out. Jesus entered the city riding on the back of a donkey, but they didn't notice the anomaly. He had just raised Lazarus from the dead. He could have been riding a cat and they would have cheered for him. "Hosanna, save us." They were filled with emotion, excitement for a Messiah in their midst. Hope was so tangible they could feel it in their fingertips. Finally, the one who had been so long promised had arrived. He would enter Jerusalem, establish a new rule, change everything for the better. Jesus was going to be King David 2.0. So when he begins his journey into the city, they hold nothing back. They are thrilled. Can you blame them? If someone appeared in our social and political scene who appeared to have the power to make everything better, wouldn't we be fans? If there was someone who could single-handedly cure cancer and offer freedom to the oppressed, homes to the homeless, and love for people on the margins, wouldn't we be front row roadside for that parade? I want to think that if Jesus came back today, I'd be the first one to recognize him, to shout my praises. Problem is, there's this little part of me that fears that if someone showed up who was miraculously able to do all those things that I just mentioned, I wonder if we wouldn't be so skeptical of him that we'd end up sounding a lot more like the Pharisees than the crowds crying Hosanna. What do you think Jesus felt like on that ride? Was he proud? Did he dare to let himself feel the lightness of hope in his spirit? Well, I suspect that it was much more a case of a mixed bag of emotions, because just as he told his mother in chapter 2 that his hour had not yet come, he now tells the people who are gathered, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." And then he says, "Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world keep it for eternal life." He knows what is coming. Jesus knows that what they are expecting is not what is to come. Jesus knows that he is not the kind of king they are assuming that he will be. And in this knowledge, there is heaviness. There's sadness, grief, disappointment, maybe even some fear. You see, Jesus will not only have to let go of the desire to live up to their expectations, but also to the relationships that he has cultivated with those he loves. He was human, after all. He loved his parents. He loved his friends. And very soon, he was going to have to say goodbye to them. But then why? I mean, if it was so difficult, then why not just become the kind of king that they were expecting. Why not defeat Caesar and establish a new Davidic kingdom? Well, because what Jesus intended to accomplish was far more than what an earthly king could ever do. Jesus' final acts would change the whole world, not just a corner of it. And so, he let go. He let go of all of it. His power, his relationships, his pride. He let it go so that he could die a convict's death, a painful, excruciating, and humiliating death. Under the most ironic of all signs ever written, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Now this is powerful stuff. And every single year, I am completely undone and then remade through the events of this week. And yet I wonder, how deeply do we engage it? Because the painfulness of it is mitigated if we go from cheering and welcoming Jesus, palms waving, to shouting our hallelujahs next Sunday morning. If we skip over the grief and the discomfort of Friday's demise, well, then we miss something. And I think that's the letting go. Without experiencing the death, we're never forced to let go. To let go of our own expectations, of our hopes, of our dreams, of all those things that we want Jesus to be, that he isn't meant to be. So I ask you, as we have now begun our Holy Week journey, of what would Jesus have you let go? What is the thing to which you are holding on that just doesn't fit into Jesus' kingdom? Is it status? Is it the way things used to be? Is it control or power, maybe? Or dare we admit that perhaps it's more than one of those things? As we journey this week toward the cross, I will be praying that Jesus will help me loosen my grip on the things that I desperately want to hold on to, but that just don't fit his mold. Will you pray for the same? Together, can we find the faith to let go of those things so that we can more fully enjoy the new life that comes on the other side? Can we do it? I have much hope. Amen.